Alexandra Watson, you're a leading happiness expert, a best-selling author and speaker, and of course you coach Leona Lewis, the one X Factor winner who's gone on to be a huge international star. You're in all the major magazines and national newspapers, as well as appearing frequently on radio and TV. And your book, The Happiness System for Women, has a special place in my heart, not least because, like Dr. Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages, another life-changing book, when you read it, it seems almost deceptively simple and low-key. Mm-hmm. And that simplicity conveys a message that can be absolutely transformational if you're just prepared to work with it. I'm really excited to be speaking to you today about happiness and how women can enjoy more of it. So let's start at the very beginning. Can you tell me a little about your early life? Where did you start from, and how did it help you to get to where you are today?
Right. Well, I'm one of three daughters. So, and I'm the middle one, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that you can start writing your psychology notes right there. No, we had a wonderful, happy upbringing. It was wonderful. I had, I grew up around food. Mm-hmm. My father was a chef. And so it was very much of a lively household with people coming and going all the time. We liked to have friends over and always constantly doing stuff. But I suppose later on, I never really knew what I wanted to do with my life. excuse me. Both my sisters knew exactly what they wanted to do, except for me. And I kind of thought, well, you know, I felt a bit lost, not feeling I had a plan, I suppose. Not that anybody was pressurizing me at all. But it took me a long time to get around to actually discovering different industries that I might be able to work in. And I started off in marketing and PR, which was wonderful to a point because I got out and about, working with lots of different people, and I love meeting people. So that really suited me. But after a while, I mean, I worked very, very hard and I became a director level. But after a while, I sort of got a bit bored with it, and I got frightened with that boredom, because what frightened me was, well, all I could keep thinking in my mind is this all there is for me? Mm-hmm. Is this all there is? You know, is this it? And that question really kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I began to think, oh, crikey, I'm going to be getting up for the rest of my life to go to this work and do this work. Now, there's nothing wrong with that work, but it wasn't fulfilling me as the way I wanted to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So that led me to a lot of kind of soul searching and thinking, well, what if this is not it and I've worked so hard to be here and done all the professional examinations and all that, well, what is for me? There just didn't seem to be anything else. Until one day, you know how things happen for a reason, wonderful serendipitous moment when I think I was having a good whinge at a friend with me and at the time, and she said, well, I think you'd make a good life coach. Mm-hmm. And I said, sounds great. What's a life coach? You know, because I didn't know back then. This was 16 years ago. Who knew back then what a life coach was? Thankfully, we're all very aware of what they do now. But I thought, well, what is it? And I kid you not, she literally reached into a handbag and brought out a brochure, a leaflet about life coaching. So, I mean, talk about a message. Right there in front of me. So I was able to go off and, you know, look at what life coaching was about, to explore the different ways of doing it. And I just thought, this is it. This is it for me. So I got straight into it. I loved it. Qualified, certified, all that. And immediately started my, I stopped doing my marketing business that I had, which was very successful. People thought I was insane. Insane. They said, you have a very successful business. What are you doing? To go life coaching? What's life coaching? So I had that conversation many a time, I can tell you, in the transformational period of going from one business to another. But I set up, I really didn't know what was going to happen. I really just went for it because in my heart it felt absolutely right. And I was very excited about my future for the first time in a long time. So I got stuck into life coaching. I had my own practice and really enjoyed doing that. And then quite soon after that, we're talking probably 6 months in, I began to feel itchy again. It was a different kind of itch. It wasn't I'm unfulfilled itch. It was a I want to do more itch. I want to do more than what I'm doing. And that led me to write my book, The Happiness System for Women. And really that was my way of putting down everything that I'd researched, everything that I understood about happiness. And I decided to focus on happiness because this, for me, was what everybody wanted more than anything, even more than good health. They wanted to be happy. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to focus on that. That's going to be the end result for people. And I'm going to do it for women because I believe very much that the woman still, even in this modern day, is very much the center of most families. So therefore, if you help the woman, you can help the rest of the family. So that was my raison for that, if you will. So I did that, and that did very well. It became a bestseller. And that was the book that actually was the hook that got me onto the X Factor and to work with Leona. So that's it.
Well, you say that's it. I can't help feeling there's much more to it than that. Quite simply, what made you feel that you could create a system around happiness, flying in the face, if you like?
Yeah, it was one of those dawning moments, you know, when the light comes on in your head and you go, aha, you know, those light bulb moments. Because the thing that really got me questioning the whole happiness thing was, why were people finding it such a mysterious thing? Why are people finding it so difficult? Mm-hmm. Why are people struggling on so many different levels with being happy? Why, after all this time and effort and all the things we have going on in society and the, you know, how far we've come, you know, in so many different ways, why are we still struggling with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that people actually mystify it themselves and almost turn happiness into a myth, into something that is, okay, it's intangible, but it is something that it's difficult to talk about, it's difficult to express, it's difficult to nail down. And people go on a very long-winded way about trying to get happy, and they do it almost always in the wrong way, which is looking at happiness on the outside and finding things on the outside and searching on the outside for things to make them feel better on the inside. The thing that I realized first and foremost was happiness was an inside job. Nobody else can make you happy. Don't even try. And don't even try to make other people happy. It doesn't work. I knew those were the golden rules of happiness. Happiness, you're responsible for your own happiness, and you do that from within, not without, right? The next thing, I'd researched so much stuff on happiness, and we're going way back. We're talking Marcus Aurelius stuff, you know, meditations, all the way through literature on happiness and personal success. And I realized also that there's actually what formulated in my brain was actually a code, a step-by-step way of doing it. And I'd looked at other people's work, and I'd realized, actually, there's a hole in that. There's a hole in this, that if somebody doesn't see that hole, this is not going to work for them. And what I realized was this: you have to do it in a chronological order. You have to work through it and the way that I've done it is 7 steps, yes? So it's simple, very simple. But if you try and do step 3 before you've done step 1, it won't work. If you try and do step 5 before you do step 3, it won't work. Because you have to move through it in a chronological order. That is the way towards it. That's what makes it easy. That's what makes it attainable. That's what creates happiness within you. Because things like people say, well, you know, one of the arts of happiness is to feel grateful, you know, gratitude. Gratitude is a great thing about happiness. And I say, yes, but how can you feel grateful if you're still holding on to resentment about something? You can't. You really can't. You're faking it. You're faking, I'm going to try and be grateful, I'm going to try and be grateful. And in the back of your mind, you're still holding on to all sorts of stuff that you're resenting and feeling bad about. So this is my point. You have to get rid of all that first before you can start working with the gratitude. And that was how I laid out my happiness plan. That's how I saw it. It had to be in this particular step, this formation, in order for it to work properly.
And I think you're absolutely right. I'm still gobsmacked that you could actually get that much clarity about something that everybody is so incredibly woolly about.
I kind of thought at the time that I was writing the book, you know, that moment where you sit down at your desk, you've got the blank screen in front of you, you stretch your hands above your head, crack your knuckles, and you're ready to type, mm-hmm. yes? Ever had one of those moments? And it just came out. I almost felt like a vessel where this stuff was just coming out. And mm-hmm. I had part to do with it, but actually, you know, there was something going on as well. There was other powers at work, I think. I truly believe that. And I've spoke to a lot of other authors, definitely in the, you know, the personal development world, and they've said the similar things, that once they actually focused on it, sat down to write what they were going to write, then there was an element of flow and an element of, golly, you can almost look outside of your own body and go, am I writing this? What's going on? You're just in the flow and things are almost downloading straight to you. And I think a lot of that happened for me. But I wish it also happened in the editing process, because that's the bit I found the hardest, is once I've written it, it was then editing it. Oh, that was painful for me. But, you know, you have to do it. But, you know, when you get in the flow of writing, it was almost magical.
Yes. I understand that. And somewhere there must have been a piece of getting out of your own way first that you could allow that to happen.
I was so passionate. I think passion gets you out of your own way. If you're passionate enough about anything, that really is your fuel. And that's why I sort of talk to all my people I work with, you know, to find where the passion is within them, because that is what they need to hook onto. That is what they need to connect with in a very powerful way in order for them to move forward and overcome the obstacles that life's going to throw at you. It's got to be a passion, because that is the innate sort of will within you, that fire in your belly that will get you through anything. So, yeah, it's my passion.
Yeah,
very passionate.
I'm going to be one of those annoying people who's just read your book and probably remembers what you said better than you did.
Okay, go for it. Quote me.
And you said optimism is the mother of enthusiasm, which I think is absolutely true. How do you deal with someone who's not able to harness their optimism?
I think it's a really great question. And, you know, it is actually, can I just be very simple again and break it really down? I like to take complicated things and make them very straightforward. If I've a gift of anything on the planet, it's that. You know, you have a choice, basically. It's a choice. You can either be pessimistic or optimistic. You can let everything that's happened in your life fuel your pessimism, or you can let everything in your life be let go of because you choose to be optimistic. It is something that you decide to do, like you decide to be a train robber or not. It's not somebody else's fault. It's within you. You have just as much ability to be optimistic as you do pessimistic. In fact, it takes less energy to be optimistic than it does to be pessimistic. What we tend to do, and you'll have seen this so many times in your life as well, is that people who are pessimistic like to huddle together and be pessimistic in a group. Like they say, misery loves company. And that kind of fuels each other on to be more and more pessimistic and moany and whingy. You need to, if you're in a crowd like that, you need to pull away. You need to pull yourself out of it, make the decision that you're no longer going to sort of let that energy be who you are, and decide to look optimistically instead of pessimistically. Now, I think a few things have to happen before you can be optimistic, just like the happiness system states, which is that you have to get rid of your negativity about yourself. You also have to do a lot of forgiveness. Like I say, there can't be any resentment harboring, eating at you, and you trying to be optimistic at the same time. That's just ridiculous. So you've got to work through it. But absolutely, you have a choice to be either way. If you believe you were born pessimistic, I could coach you out of that. As I say, I don't agree with you. I think that's an excuse. In a loving and respectful way, I think that's an excuse. But, you know, another thing that I like to do is give people a loving kick in the pants and to say, you know what, really, is that true? If you really believe it, really, where is it true? Where is it true in your heart that you really believe you're pessimistic? Or does it just work for you right now? Or is it serving a need for you right now?
Mm-hmm.
But really, we have a choice.
Yeah. You ask some fabulous questions there. You really do. Because when you go with those questions, it's very hard to stay exactly where you were.
Because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's very hard to hide away from the truth for very long when that you start prodding. That's what I do. When I'm coaching somebody, I'm prodding around the lies, the negativity. All negativity is a lie anyway. So I sort of prod around what their excuses may be. I'm not actually having a go at them. I'm having a go at their fear and challenging their fear in a loving way, but challenging it. Because if you prod around fear long enough, it can't hold water. Truth actually is solid and can never be disrupted or changed or altered. So when you actually get to the truth of somebody and the truth of what they truly believe, then you're actually connecting with that real person in a soulful place.
Lovely. If all negativity is a lie, and pessimism, which I'm quite happy to go with, what are your thoughts about depression? You know, it's a fabulous society for fostering depression and sticking that kind of label on ourselves.
I think depression has become more evident and thankfully more talked about recently. However, there seems to be more of it, and I think we are overstressed. And it's a depression is a way of coping, if you will, or not coping. We do put ourselves under a great deal of pressure. As a country, we are officially workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to internalize and blame ourselves for a lot of so-called failures or things that don't work out the way we want them to. That is really a very difficult subject because there are different types of depression. I can help people with sort of the very mild type of depression, but obviously there are chemical imbalances that can also cause depression, which I'm not qualified to help people about and would never ever go there, and I would refer somebody to the appropriate therapist. But when somebody comes to me who's sort of bordering on depressive or just very mildly depressive, that's something that I can help them with, and it really is to reconnect them to and remind them of who they really are, and to let them see a different perspective on life and to show them a different perspective on life and to give them a door that's open. Instead of thinking, because a depressive state is a state of staleness, a state of lethargy, and not realizing that there are options, or not even